It really is good to be here today.
Amen.
I know we were only out a week, but it just it seems like forever.
Yeah.
So I'm delighted to be here and be doing what we're doing. I know we've kind of got time that we need to be careful of. People need to get back, so I'm going to try to be short. Hard for a preacher to do, but I guess I need to practice. The question that I have today is a question that I've been asking myself a lot. What is important to you? You know, we're probably most of us raised in church, or we've been in church enough that we've got the right answers to that question, don't we? We kind of know what we're supposed to say when somebody asks us what's really important to us. But when we get up in the morning, what does our life say? If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 28 through 31 in just a minute, but I want to set it up a little bit. I think today actually sort of illustrates this. We have, as Christians, our priority ought to be to share our faith, right? Jesus said before that, go into all the world and make disciples. So I decided, you know what, this is more important than anything I can get up here and say. So if I need to shut up, I'll just shut up. But we'll try to get through it anyway. I'm going to set this story up a little bit because this is the setting here. Jesus has come in to Jerusalem. This is right after the triumphal entry. He comes in riding on a donkey. You remember the story? We did Palm Sunday just not too terribly long ago. So he comes in and the people are praising him and the children are in the temple. And the scribes and the Pharisees are not happy about this. And they're questioning his authority. In fact, it says earlier in the chapter that they saw all the good, wonderful things that he was doing. But instead of rejoicing and celebrating the wonderful works of God, they came and said, who told you you could do that? The Pharisees had a little bit of a problem with priorities, didn't they?
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus is dealing with here. Well, he's actually dealing with a whole lot more than that. Taking a slight tangent, which I always hate to do, which is why I wanted to set it up and just let you know that this is part of a larger context. And whenever we read the scripture, we should read it in context. This is the first of the parables that he told in response to kind of tell the Pharisees, hey, this is where you're at. But starting in verse 28, it says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. Problem with priorities. You know, we all have a little bit of a problem with rebellion, don't we? We all have a tendency sometimes to refuse when we should be saying yes. But the important thing here was not so much what they said, but what they did.
Amen.
I'll give you another if you flip it over just a little bit further into chapter 23. Verse 23 said a long series of people, of things that Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. You know, I find it interesting. When Jesus spoke to sinners, he did tell some rather pointed parables, but by and large, when he spoke to sinners one-on-one, he had one message. Repent. That was his message. Go and sin no more, he said to the woman. But man, oh man, did he get on to the church people. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. These are God's priorities. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. That's not to say that what we say is not important. In fact, what we say, it says a lot about us. Jesus said earlier that out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. The translation I have says it the other way around. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So if we find ourselves day to day constantly speaking things that are not uplifting and not edifying, then maybe we need to examine our hearts and see what's in there.
Amen.
What we do is important. You know, I hate to say this, but I think it's not all that uncommon. I've been struggling with this issue of priorities in my own life. In fact, this week has just seems like it's been nothing but. Maybe that's why I'm talking about it. Because so many things were coming to a head. I had completely forgotten that I needed to update the website, and I was waiting to see how the lesson was going to come out with Linda, and I didn't know what I was going to speak on. And all of a sudden, Saturday morning, I realized, you still don't know, and you hadn't said anything. So, okay, now I've got work. I had to work and do some stuff over the weekend. Because I hadn't used my time as best I might have throughout the week. And not only that, because of that, I couldn't go to a celebration of good friends of ours that were celebrating the birthday of their daughter that they adopted. Mm-hmm. Not having the right priorities can hurt you.
That's right.
You know, I'm a slave to my Outlook. Everything is categorized and prioritized, and so that the things that I say are most important to me always are at the first thing that I see at the top when I get up in the morning. I flip over to that inbox and it's all in order right there, everything that I need to do. And supposedly, that's my priority list. And, praise God, by His grace, the first one on the list I do pretty good with. It's to pray and write in my journal and read the Word. And, you know, as soon as I say that, I'm going to mess up tomorrow. But by His grace, this year anyway, I've been able to hang on to that pretty good.
Amen.
But then there's a second one right underneath it. And I hate to give this up, but I don't think I'm telling my beloved any secrets. She just loves me and wants me to be healthy. The second thing on that priority list is exercise. Oh, you would. I tell you what. It's so easy to just right-click that thing and click follow-up tomorrow. There's always a good reason not to do it. Oh, I already got coffee, or oh, I've got to sit here and watch this, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. Oh, I can miss a day, no big deal. Before you know it, you've missed a month. I hadn't missed a month, by the way. But the point is, what we say is not always what our life reveals. One of my most unfavorite sayings that I have, I'm sure, used myself before is, I didn't have time. You know, I understand that time is finite, and some things we don't have time for because other things are more important. But that's what you're really telling me. What you're really telling me when you say, I don't have time, is, I didn't make time. Whatever it was that you wanted of me, I didn't consider important. How many times do we say to God, I didn't have time.
Right.
I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to exercise and take care of my body. These other things are more important.
Right.
How solitary is more important, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. But this parable illustrates a character difference. Both of the people, and both of the brothers involved, had a problem with character, but one went deeper. The one who said, "I will not," wanted to please his father, regretted his rebellion, and went back and did what he should have done. The other one who said, "Oh, yeah, sure, I'll do it," in the end, he was more concerned about himself. And when it came down to doing what his father wanted or doing what he wanted, he chose what he wanted.
Right.
Didn't do what he said he would do. Didn't keep his word. So the message today is just for all of us, as we head into this time of learning how to witness. You know, there's another story on my mind that's a bit more poignant. I've known a man for 10, 11 years. And every time I think about this man, I think, you know, he needs to know Jesus. Have I spoken to him in the 11 year, 10 years that I've known him about Jesus? No. Nope. What if he has a car wreck tomorrow? What am I going to say to God? Is that important to me, or is my comfort more important to me? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves as we go into this time. This is serious stuff. What we're doing is serious stuff. We're talking about life and death here. And so I want to pray for us right now. Don't need to be heavy. Don't need to be harsh. If I am, it's because I'm being harsh to myself, because I need to look at these things too. What's really important? What does my life say? So I'm just going to pray and say, Lord, help us to see what's important in our lives and to arrange them in a way that pleases you. To put the concerns that you have up front, because Lord, we ought to know by now that when we put your concerns first, those things that we have that concern us tend to fade in importance. And it tends to be a pretty, not without persecution, not without trouble, but it tends to be a joyful life when we're submitted to you because you love us. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given us. Thank you that we live in a country where we still have the freedom to do what you want us to do. May we exercise that freedom every day. In Jesus' name.